Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Spider Network by David Enrich is a fast-paced work of financial investigative journalism that untangles how a group of traders helped corrupt one of the world's most important benchmarks, the London Interbank Offered Rate, commonly known as LIBOR. Built to measure the cost of borrowing between major banks, LIBOR quietly influenced everything from complex derivatives to ordinary mortgages, meaning tiny tweaks could ripple across the global economy. Enrich centers much of the narrative on Tom Hayes, a brilliant and socially awkward derivatives trader whose talent for math and obsession with proving he was right made him both valuable and vulnerable. Around him, an informal web of colleagues and contacts at multiple banks shared favors, requests, and inside coordination, often through casual messages that made manipulation feel routine. The book traces how this culture formed, how regulators and executives missed warning signs, and how a scandal with massive financial stakes ended with dramatic investigations, courtroom battles, and questions about accountability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, LIBOR as a hidden lever in global finance. A central topic is why LIBOR mattered so much and how its design made it easy to abuse. LIBOR functioned as a reference rate used to price an enormous range of financial products, from interest rate swaps and corporate loans to consumer mortgages and student lending. Yet for years, it was not a direct record of completed transactions. Instead, it relied on daily submissions from a panel of banks estimating what they would pay to borrow. That structure created an opening. When the benchmark depends on judgment rather than hard trade data, a coordinated nudge can shift outcomes. Enrich explains how a move of a fraction of a basis point could translate into big profits or reduce losses on large derivatives books. He also shows how the rate became intertwined with bank reputation during periods of crisis, when reporting higher borrowing costs could imply weakness. These incentives overlapped in dangerous ways, making LIBOR both a tool for trading advantage and a cosmetic signal for public confidence. Understanding this fragility is key to grasping how manipulation could become normalized and why the consequences spread far beyond a handful of trading desks. Secondly, Tom Hayes and the Making of a Rate Manipulator. The book devotes substantial attention to Tom Hayes, portraying him as a rare mix of quantitative skill, ambition, and social limitations. Enrich frames Hayes as someone who could see patterns and angles that others missed, especially in complicated interest rate derivatives tied to benchmark settings. That aptitude helped him rise quickly, but it also fed a mindset that markets were puzzles to be solved and that pushing inputs was a legitimate part of the game. The narrative explores how Hayes sought certainty in a business built on uncertainty, leaning on models and aggressive convictions. At the same time, he depended on a network of brokers and traders who could influence submissions or share market color. The tension that emerges is whether Hayes was an outlier mastermind or a product of a system that rewarded profit above process. Enrich tracks how Hayes built routines around requesting favorable rate submissions, how those requests became more explicit, and how the line between persuasion and manipulation dissolved. The result is a character study of how a talented individual can become the focal point of broader institutional failures, especially when oversight is weak and incentives are skewed. Thirdly, the spider network, culture, messaging, and backstabbing incentives. Another key topic is the social machinery that made the scandal possible. Enrich describes a loosely organized web of traders, submitters, and interdealer brokers spanning multiple institutions. Rather than a single centralized conspiracy, it operated like a favor economy. I help your book today, you help mine tomorrow. The nickname Spider Network reflects how connections multiplied across desks and banks, creating pathways for requests to travel quickly. The book highlights how everyday communication channels, including chat rooms and casual messages, reduced perceived risk and created a sense of camaraderie. In that environment, manipulation could feel like routine coordination instead of a serious breach. Yet Enrich also emphasizes the backstabbing aspect. Competition for bonuses, status, and survival during turmoil encouraged people to deflect blame and preserve careers. Relationships that looked cooperative could flip into self-protection when investigations began. This theme illustrates a broader lesson about financial misconduct. It often thrives not just on greed, but on group norms, rationalizations, and fragmented responsibility. When many people each take a small step, no one feels like the villain until the network is exposed and incentives shift from making money to avoiding consequences. Fourthly, regulators, executives, and the anatomy of a missed warning. Enrich also examines how the manipulation persisted for so long despite red flags. One reason was complexity. LIBOR sat at the intersection of technical finance and institutional tradition, and many senior leaders did not fully understand how submissions were generated or how trading books could benefit from tiny shifts. Another reason was organizational silos. Traders, submitters, compliance teams, and executives often operated with partial information, allowing suspicious behavior to be dismissed as noise or isolated misconduct. The book recounts how the financial crisis intensified pressures as banks worried that honest submissions could signal weakness and raise funding costs. That environment blurred motives and gave plausible explanations for odd movements in the rate. In rich details, the uneven pace of regulatory response, shaped by limited resources, jurisdictional confusion, and the challenge of proving intent. He also points to the ways institutions sometimes treated compliance as a box-checking function rather than a serious control system. This topic is less about a single bad actor and more about how modern finance can produce gaps where accountability disappears. The reader is left with a clearer sense of how a benchmark with global impact could be governed by processes that were surprisingly informal and vulnerable. Lastly, investigation, prosecution, and the question of fair accountability. The final major theme is what happened when the scheme unraveled and how blame was assigned. And Rich follows the shift from private trading chatter to public scandal, with investigations, evidence collection, and institutional settlements. A major focus is the prosecution of individuals, particularly the contrast between the punishment of traders and the limited personal consequences for many senior decision makers. The book raises questions about how justice functions in complex financial cases. Prosecutors often prefer defendants whose actions can be documented cleanly through messages and specific requests, even if those defendants were not the most powerful participants. And Rich explores how narratives get built in court, how juries interpret technical financial behavior, and how defendants argue that misconduct was tolerated or even encouraged. This topic also touches on reputational dynamics. Banks can pay fines and move on, while individuals may face prison and permanent stigma. The broader implication is that enforcement can deter future wrongdoing only if it feels consistent and credible. By tracing the human and legal aftermath, the book turns the LIBOR scandal into a case study about the limits of reform, the politics of punishment, and the difficulty of aligning responsibility with actual power inside large financial institutions. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who like real-world thrillers grounded in documented events, especially those interested in banking, markets, regulation, or how white-collar scandals actually unfold. It also suits professionals in finance, law, compliance, and journalism who want a vivid case study of how incentives and weak controls can distort behavior across institutions. The practical benefit is not learning a trading strategy, but gaining sharper instincts about systemic risk, how benchmarks shape everyday costs, how small procedural choices can create huge vulnerabilities, and how culture can normalize ethically dangerous conduct. Those lessons translate into better skepticism when evaluating financial products, news headlines, or institutional promises about oversight. Compared with many books that treat the financial crisis as an abstract macro story, The Spider Network stands out for its character-driven reporting and its focus on a specific mechanism that quietly touched vast amounts of money. It connects personal ambition and office politics with global consequences in a way that is easy to follow without dumbing down the stakes. If you want one book that explains why a seemingly boring interest rate benchmark became a worldwide scandal, it is a strong and worthwhile buy. If you would like to support David Enrich, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.